Fitzroy's formal assignment was to chart coastal waters, but his hobby, passion really, was to seek out evidence for a literal biblical interpretation of creation. That Darwin was trained for the ministry was central to Fitzroy's decision to have him aboard. That Darwin subsequently proved to be not only liberal of view, but less than wholeheartedly devoted to Christian fundamentals, became a source of lasting friction between them. Darwin's time aboard HMS Beagle from 1831 to 1836 was obviously the formative experience of his life, but also one of the most trying. He and his captain shared a small cabin, which can't have been easy as Fitzroy was subject to fits of fury followed by spells of simmering resentment. He and Darwin constantly engaged in quarrels, some bordering on insanity, as Darwin later recalled. Ocean voyages tended to become melancholy undertakings at the best of times. The previous captain of the Beagle had put a bullet through his brain during a moment of lonely gloom, and Fitzroy came from a family well known for a depressive instinct. His uncle, Viscount Castlereagh, had slit his throat the previous decade while serving as Chancellor of the Exchequer. Fitzroy would himself commit suicide by the same method in 1865. Even in his calmer moods, Fitzroy proved strangely unknowable. Darwin was astounded to learn upon the conclusion of their voyage that almost at once Fitzroy married a young woman to whom he had long been betrothed. In 5 years in Darwin's company, he had not once hinted at an attachment, or even mentioned her name. In every other respect, however, the Beagle voyage was a triumph. Darwin experienced adventure enough to last a lifetime, and accumulated a hoard of specimens sufficient to make his reputation and keep him occupied for years. He found a magnificent trove of giant ancient fossils, including the finest megatherium known to date, survived a lethal earthquake in Chile, discovered a new species of dolphin, which he dutifully named Delphinus Fitzroyi, conducted diligent and useful geological investigations throughout the Andes, and developed a new and much admired theory for the formation of coral atolls, which suggested, not coincidentally, that atolls could not form in less than a million years, the first hint of his long-standing attachment to the extreme antiquity of earthly processes. In 1836, aged 27, he returned home after being away for 5 years and 2 days. He never left England again. One thing Darwin didn't do on the voyage was propound the theory, or even a theory, of evolution. For a start, evolution as a concept was already decades old by the 1830s. Darwin's own grandfather, Erasmus, had paid tribute to evolutionary principles in a poem of inspired mediocrity called The Temple of Nature, years before Charles was even born. It wasn't until the younger Darwin was back in England and read Thomas Malthus's Essay on the Principle of Population, which proposed that increases in food supply could never keep up with population growth for mathematical reasons, that the idea began to percolate through his mind that life is a perpetual struggle, and that natural selection was the means by which some species prospered while others failed. Specifically, what Darwin saw was that all organisms competed for resources, and those that had some innate advantage would prosper and pass on that advantage to their offspring. By such means would species continuously improve. It seems an awfully simple idea. It is an awfully simple idea, but it explained a great deal, and Darwin was prepared to devote his life to it. "How stupid of me not to have thought of it," T.H. Huxley cried upon reading On the Origin of Species. It is a view that has been echoed ever since. Interestingly, Darwin didn't use the phrase survival of the fittest in any of his work, though he did express his admiration for it. The expression was coined 5 years after the publication of On the Origin of Species by Herbert Spencer in Principles of Biology in 1864. Nor did he employ the word evolution in print until the 6th edition of Origin, by which time its use had become too widespread to resist, preferring instead descent with modification. Nor, above all, were his conclusions in any way inspired by his noticing, during his time in the Galapagos Islands, an interesting diversity in the beaks of finches. The story as conventionally told, or at least as frequently remembered by many of us, is that Darwin, while traveling from island to island,